You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What's this button do? Whoa!
You are now entering the green world.
Since its inception in 2008, the New Zealand Emissions Trading Scheme, or ETS, has been, according to the government, its primary tool to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and tackle the climate crisis. As part of the scheme, the government sets a price for carbon units, which companies must pay to offset their emissions. The Climate Change Commission's recent report highlighted that the scheme was not stable and susceptible to changes in the market, and did not have sufficient carbon units to last until 2030, requiring urgent reform. For Greenworld, I spoke with Scott Burnett, the Regional Conservation Manager for the Top of the South Island and Forest and Bird's climate spokesperson, about why Forest and Bird has called the system broken, what impact this has on Aotearoa, and what reforms should be implemented. So the Climate Change Commission recently gave advice on New Zealand's emissions trading scheme. What is the ETS, and why is Forest and Bird saying it is a broken system?
Sure. Well, first of all, the ETS is New Zealand's primary tool for reducing emissions, and it seeks to do so by requiring people who pollute, businesses that pollute, to purchase ETS units for every ton of CO2 they emit. They have to buy a unit, and the price of that is supposed to incentivize them to invest in lower emissions technologies or reduce their emissions. So every large polluting business in New Zealand is required to participate in the ETS, and households participate in it through things like, the price of fuel and the price of goods, ends up factoring in those ETS costs. The ETS, I guess, is supposed to create some revenue for the government. So the government holds auctions regularly, but in the last couple of years, of the last 10 auctions, 8 of them failed, and so the government didn't sell units and didn't earn any income from the ETS during that period. And so the Climate Commission is warning that the market is losing credibility and that market confidence has fallen, and they attribute that to the government's own decisions, which are making the system increasingly unworkable. And those decisions mostly relate to decisions outside the ETS, a whole lot of complementary measures that the government have chosen to roll back. That's things like deciding not to bring agricultural emissions into the ETS, abandoning plans to put any form of pricing on agricultural emissions at this point, weakening the biogenic methane target, reversing the ban on offshore oil and gas exploration, committing us to this new liquid natural gas terminal rather than putting more thought into alternatives, repealing the clean car discount, removing the vehicle efficiency standards, rolling back safety and climate measures by increasing speed limits, and then, you know, the Fast Track Act and RMA reform that removes some the sort of core sustainable management pieces out of that legislation. And so all of those things collectively, you know, create uncertainty to participants in the ETS that the government is serious about acting on climate change. And that creates that sort of market instability and loss of confidence.
Yeah, and what would this market instability sort of result in?
Yeah, so what it's resulting in is that with I guess a big problem with the emissions trading scheme is that the price that incentivizes people to plant exotic forestry for carbon income is lower than the price that is necessary to force businesses to reduce emissions or invest in, you know, reducing their emissions. So it's cheaper for businesses to buy forestry carbon credits than it is to reduce their emissions. And so that current issue in the ETS is, you know, has driven a whole bunch of exotic afforestation in recent years, and it's problematic in that, you know, not necessarily the best land use decision in every case, and it is setting us up for future downstream problems where, you know, in 2050, where we've reached our emissions targets, there won't be ETS income for those forest owners. Do they end up with a stranded asset? Is it, you know, going to be filled with pests and weeds and, you know, creating fire risk and things like that? So, you know, those are some of the sort of unintended consequences of this scheme not working adequately.
Right. Has there been generally compliance with the whole carbon trading scheme?
Yeah, so every business that's required to participate in it does so. You know, I'm not aware of any issues there. I guess the one thing in this report that the Climate Commission has warned about, and it's not a new thing, they've warned about it previously in their advice to government, is that the emissions trading scheme is also on a trajectory toward failure, and that by the mid-2030s, there'll be such an oversupply of units in the market from forestry offsets and free allocation to industrial emitters that it just doesn't work anymore. And so, you know, it's beyond reasonable doubt that the ETS needs some reform to provide that confidence and create a pathway that gives some certainty to people who use fossil fuels and have to transition away from them so that they can make the appropriate investment decisions, you know, for their businesses.
Yeah.
And in a way, I guess, over the last couple of years, the government is relying on the ETS but has chosen not to do anything to fix the problems, and that's just sort of kicking the can down the road.
The government has stated in the past that the ETS is our primary tool to combat the climate crisis. If this tool is broken, what can we do? What are the alternative methods to mitigating greenhouse gas emissions?
Yeah, so the ETS can be fixed, and it also needs, you know, we can't just rely on the ETS alone. At the moment, the government are giving a free pass to agriculture. Agriculture is responsible for 53% of New Zealand's emissions currently, and by relying solely on the emissions trading scheme, that puts more pressure on industry and transport and other sectors of the economy to carry the weight. Cabinet saw advice from officials last year that warned that covering that free pass to agriculture could add $270 a year to the average household's budget in New Zealand. So in effect, you know, you're asking the average New Zealander to pay for those agricultural emissions through extra costs and from having transport and industry, you know, carry more of the load. We think that's not fair. and it's also, you know, all of this stuff is not adequately, you know, treating climate change like the emergency that it is. You know, Forest and Bird, we're very keenly aware that 75% of our birds, our freshwater fish, our reptiles are all threatened with extinction or at risk of becoming threatened with extinction. And climate change is really exacerbating those pressures. And so climate change is something we can do something about, and we need to be doing it.
Yeah. And the ETS has been around since 2008, and a 2016 Ministry of Environment report suggested that it had marginal effects on reducing CO2 emissions. Is the ETS effective in reducing our carbon emissions?
I guess you could argue yes, in that the country currently is on track to meet its emissions reduction targets. There's, you know, it looks like it is less certain the further out we get, and that, you know, the government need to make decisions now so that we can achieve the future budgets. But right now we are on track. But we would argue that the reason we're on track is because we've had COVID, we've had a high inflationary period, things like the current Strait of Hormuz thing are all kind of creating economic headwinds. And so we're in this thing that in economics is known as demand destruction. Emissions have plateaued or are dropping because businesses are closing, production stalling, and households are struggling with those high costs, and not because the government is successfully managing our transition to a clean, low emissions future. And so it could work, it can work, it just needs reform. And it needs a bunch of complementary measures, things like reinstating the clean car discount, for example. Those sorts of things that the government had rolled back, you know, were helping us achieve that emissions lowering pathway. And at Forest and Bird, you know, we think that we need to drastically reduce emissions across transport, agriculture and industry, and that doing so is the most responsible response to climate change. And then at the same time, we also need to be investing in nature-based solutions like restoring our wetlands, native afforestation, to build up climate resilience. And in doing so, that would help protect people, our communities, and our biodiversity. I guess one final thought here is that reducing emissions and investing in climate resilience is a better investment than spending money after each and every more frequent weather event. You know, that the costs of climate change, you know, are being keenly felt by households and by the government, and that the faster we can build resilience and reduce our emissions, the better we can manage those weather events.
That was Scott Burnett from Forest and Bird, speaking about the Climate Change Commission's recent report on the emissions trading scheme.
That was The Green World.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.